2. Conscription.
The Quintessals are versatile creatures. Their strength is formidable against non-magic-wielding combatants. I once held 2 men with only 1 conjuration. I probably could have subdued a 3rd, if 1 were present, using my conjuration's mammoth tongue.
From Kolvinar Vryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 10. Amundel could not believe what he was hearing. Conscription? Among the mages of the Sarothian Magical Order? How absurd! He blinked in horror as his father explained the reasoning behind the council's decision.
"'It's a time of war, my son,' Aranil said. "'As allies of the Empire, Soroth has been at war since before you were born. The Principality has lent aid to the Mindalanian war effort well before there was ever any need. But now times are different. Our allies are in need, and they require more than just soldiers.' I'm sorry that you don't agree, but these are the circumstances in which we live. We cannot change them.
Amundel furrowed his brow. Now he understood why Gwyneth had left Soroth all those years ago.
This really is not a dangerous task,
Vayum chimed in.
Do not let the name of the reliquary frighten you. It will be a simple expedition.
Amundel shot her an annoyed glance. Her words did not sound sincere. "People die while exploring the world all the time," he said. "And why can't you people go yourselves?" Vayum's lips twisted into an awkward smile. She studied Amundel, but Aranil was the one who spoke.
"Mindalanian forces are already strained on the battlefield. The rebels of the Western Sovereignty have received reinforcements from the Lossians as well as from other nations on the mainland. Our allies do not have the resources to commit to an expedition."
Amundel sighed. He would have been better off staying in the Malar Forest. Those wilds were more appealing.
"Besides, we are not helping them without gain," Aranil added.
"Really?" Amundel scoffed. "And what do we get out of it?" His father studied him for a moment. Aranil looked as if he were biting his tongue. Though Amundel and his father loved each other, they often clashed when it came to matters aside from the magical arts.
"Every member of the expedition will be well compensated for their time. Those who go will earn more than enough to live on for a few years."
"So money," Amundel nodded and began pacing through the parlor. "I probably have more in my purse," he patted his bag, "than what I'd earn for tagging along." Aranil did not look amused.
"My son, this is far greater than you. If you only look at what your immediate gain will be, you will lose out on the greater purpose of things. That is a lesson you should learn early in life."
"Still treating me like a child," Amundel thought, shaking his head.
"I'm sorry, father, but I have more important things to do than chase treasure." Vayum laughed, and Amundel shot her another annoyed glance, but he started upon seeing those violet eyes. There was something eerie about them.
"Oh, you spoiled boy," Vayum said. "You really have no choice in the matter."
Amundel raised an eyebrow at her. He was about to open his mouth to rebuke her when footsteps echoed from the foyer. Amundel turned, waiting for the owner of those footsteps. They belonged to none other than his elder brother. Aranil walked straight-backed, a paragon of propriety. He looked much like Amundel, but had their mother's coloring, fair skin and blonde hair. And his eyes were more hazel than green. Despite a 4-year gap, some people thought the brothers were twins. Perhaps if they had been, they would have gotten along better.
"Well, well," Aranil said with a smile, eyeing Amundel. "I thought I heard whining, and here you are."
He entered the parlor, spreading his arms in a mock greeting.
"Welcome home, brother."
Aranil did not come any closer. He expected Amundel to come to him.
"Typical.
"Thank you, brother," Amandal said, biting back a bitter tone. "You know, we all thought you were dead." Arantil ambled through the parlor toward Arunil. "It doesn't take 9 months to travel to Arbath, stroll through the Malar forest, and return home." Amandal glanced to Vayam, who didn't look the least surprised. His father must have told her where he had been. Odd, Amandal thought. Though the Aramean test of valor was an old tradition that dated back generations, it was rarely discussed with non-family members. "Did you even encounter a Gangolin?" Arantil asked.
"Would I return if I hadn't?" Amandal demanded.
He glimpsed Vayam nodding in approval.
"Avoiding the question," Arantil smirked. "So typical, Amandal. Let me guess, you spent your time carousing with Lossian women, and this unkempt look was purposely assumed to make it seem like you traversed that forbidden forest."
Amandal shook his head, rolling his eyes. "You insolent twit."
"I just want to hear you say it, brother. Did you or did you not?"
"That's enough, Arantil," said their father with a firm tone.
Arantil subsided with a petulant look at Amandal.
"Sometimes you two act like children," Arunil sighed and turned to Vayam. "I'm sorry you had to witness that."
Vayam grinned, nodding casually.
"Now back to the matter at hand," Arunil said, looking to Amandal. "I urge you to reconsider. The consequences for refusing are not to be taken lightly."
Amandal pursed his lips. He hated being forced into a situation, and this conscription was no exception.
"Let me explain it plainly, brother," Arantil said. "In the morning you will receive an official summons from Grandmaster Sekarin. Its contents will notify you of your participation in this joint venture with the Mindalorn Empire. That document will outline your compensation while also disclosing the possible punishments for evading or refusing the summons. If you refuse, you will be stricken from the order. You will be forbidden to practice magic within the borders of the Principality and barred from teaching anyone under punishment of the current laws. If it is deemed that your participation would be integral to the expedition's success, a fine will be levied against you as well as a sentence to jail time."
Amandal could not believe what he was hearing. What had happened in his absence? This was not the Soroth he remembered. Arantil continued with his trite discourse, but Amandal ignored him. This was not what Amandal had planned for himself after he returned home. He had imagined devoting himself to the conjuration arts. With the Aramean test of valor complete, his father would acknowledge Amandal as a full-fledged Aramean conjurer, and he would be granted access to the tomes kept by his family that detailed the greater aspects of the conjuration channel of magic. In those tomes were kept the greater secrets of the Aldenal Plain and the Vizurm Expanse. When starting their training, young conjurers primarily accessed the Aldenal Plain, a plane of reality containing raw matter, to manifest objects and creatures. Certain incantations manifested certain things. In order to diversify those conjurations, conjurers needed only to expand their repertory of incantations. Though these conjurations were readily accessible, they were not as durable as objects inherent to Kaldah. But if destroyed, those conjurations could be summoned again. The Vizurm Expanse was different. It was a timeless void used by conjurers to trap creatures and objects they wished to summon at a future time. When a conjurer opened a portal to the Vizurm Expanse, they either pulled creatures or objects into it or out of it. Anything inside the Vizurm Expanse was untouched by time. Creatures kept there did not age. Objects did not decay. But when they were removed from the expanse, they were subject to the entropy of the world. Creatures released from the expanse required an enthralling component, or they would run amok. If a conjurer's concentration was spread thin, their minions might break free. A conjurer also risked losing the creature or object permanently due to death or destruction. Some conjurers dedicated themselves to one plane or the other, but Aramean conjurers followed the Tidactin Code, an ancient methodology that utilized both planes. The ideals of the Tidactin Code sought to overcome the inherent weaknesses of both disciplines. They enabled conjurers to access the creatures and objects they had trapped within the Vizerm expanse by using the replicating power of the Aldenal plane. A combined portal from both planes manifested conjurations that were durable and replaceable within limits. Only one copy of the trapped object or creature could be manifested at a time.
"He's not even listening," Arentil retorted. Amandel snapped from his reverie, seeing the anger on his brother's face.
"Your diatribe was boring me," Amandel said. Arentil shook his head in disgust.
"My diatribes are for your benefit, brother. You have not learned to take responsibility for yourself. Father and mother will not always be around to take care of you, and I certainly won't coddle you."
"Arentil?"
Arenil touched his son's arm.
"I've tried to tell you, brother," Arentil said harshly. "You need to take responsibility for your life. You can't always be dabbling in the arts while carousing with loose women. I hope this expedition teaches you something, brother. I'd hoped you might return from the test a better man, but you're still a spoiled brat."
As Arenil opened his mouth to rebuke his eldest son, Amandel shook his head, balling his fists.
"Why don't we settle this like men? I'll show you exactly what my time in Malar taught."
"That's enough!"
Arenil shouted, his voice near shaking the room.
"Arentil, leave us be."
Arentil glanced at his father, then strode from the parlor.
"Oh, I'm not done with you yet, brother,"
Amandel growled, stomping after Arentil.
"No, Amandel," Arenil said sternly. "Our talk is not finished."
Amandel stopped at the archway leading to the foyer. He turned around, breathing raggedly. If he were to stay, he had to regain a somewhat calm demeanor.
"Vayam, will you leave us for a moment?" Arenil asked in a pleasant tone.
The Mandalorian nodded and left the parlor, following the path Arentil had taken. Once Vayam was gone, Arenil slumped into an oversized armchair.
"I'm sorry, my son. I know you had other expectations, but they will have to be put aside for now."
Arenil studied Amandel for a moment before continuing.
"It is just one expedition. Think of it that way."
Amandel shook his head, pacing once again through the parlor.
"Where there is one, there are two."
"Then take an apprentice," Arenil said through clenched teeth. "Amandel, there is no way to get out of this situation short of assuming other obligations."
Amandel groaned inwardly.
"I knew you would say that."
"If you agree to that, perhaps there is something I can do. You could stay here and continue pursuing your passion. I know it's not exactly what you want, but the sooner you learn that life is full of compromises, the better it'll be for you."
Amandel sighed. "More lectures. Thank you, father."
"There is a boy that I have in mind," Arenil said. "He's about 10, and studying to be a necromancer. But he has some aspirations of becoming a duelist mage. If you were to take him as an apprentice, I might be able to persuade the council to waive your participation in this expedition."
"Might?" Amandel asked tersely. "Where there is one apprentice, there will be another, and another."
If Amandel accepted an apprentice now, the order would bog down his time with teaching. That would be worse than going out adventuring. Amandel had no intention of becoming a teacher, especially to children. He might consider taking an adult as an apprentice, but not for many years.
Amandal, if you don't go, they will expel you from the Order. I do not want that for my son,
Aranil sighed, glancing to the foyer. Amandal continued pacing. What else was there to say? They would argue all night until one of them fainted. He shook his head at the thought, then felt a tug at his arm. His father was standing beside him, his face close.
Amandal, you have great potential. Of my two sons, you are the greater skilled.
Amandal shook his head. You're just saying that.
No. Your passion will drive you to greatness. One day you will far surpass Aurentil. Your brother only continues his training in the magical arts because he must do it. Because he is an Aramean. You want to do it. Even if you weren't born an Aramean, I can see you striving to become the greatest conjurer to walk the face of Kaldar.
Amandal was taken aback.
If you go with the Mandalorians now, I promise I will find a way for you to fulfill your dreams and ambitions.
Just this once? Amandal asked, though his position hadn't changed. Aranil nodded.
And I'll let you take transcriptions and notes from the family tomes on the expedition.
That's unusual, Amandal thought. No one besides those deemed worthy were permitted to see the contents of those tomes. And when is this expedition to hell set to leave? He asked, though he was not truly interested.
In 3 days.
3 days? Amandal thought.
I don't know, father.
Aranil put a hand on Amandal's shoulder.
Just think about it. You don't have to come to a decision right this moment. I will tell the council you'll make your decision before the expedition sets sail. You should get some rest.
He squeezed Amandal's shoulder and then left the parlor. Amandal turned to the window. He stared at the lightstone's constant unflickering light.
There has to be another way.
He paced around the parlor trying to think of alternatives, but nothing came to him. Amid his pacing, he noticed a rolled parchment on the end table where his father had been seated. That must be the list, Amandal thought. He grabbed the parchment and unrolled it.
Are you on this list, Ildan?
The names were organized by classes. Necromancers, wizards, illusionists, conjurers, barjanists, transmuters, and arpranists. To Amandal's surprise, Ildan was not on the list of candidates who hadn't already volunteered. Aurentil wasn't either. He wrinkled his brow. Surely they hadn't volunteered to go? Suddenly he realized his father's suggestion made sense. Aurentil had several apprentices and taught at the Sarothian Magical Order, and Ildan had teaching responsibilities. They were both exempt. Footsteps echoed from the foyer, and Amandal quickly re-rolled the parchment. He placed it back where he had found it, then hurried out of the parlor. He passed his father and the Mandalorian visitor, whose eyes followed him as he moved toward the stairway to his private rooms.
What a strange woman, he thought.
Glancing over his shoulder, he found Vaym still staring at him. Amandal could not rest. After an hour, hunger pangs forced him from his bed, so he snuck off to the kitchen. Their family's chef, Dudanil, was probably fast asleep, but that was no problem. Amandal had spent many a day in the kitchen. As with the rest of the estate home, the kitchen was roomy. During his boyhood, Amandal had thought all kitchens were this size until he visited Ildan's home. The kitchen in the estate house was 4 times larger. Throughout the generations, the Aramean family had often hosted banquets and parties, so a large kitchen was a necessity.
I wonder what we have to eat.
Amandal wove around the kitchen's 4 rectangular islands, moving straight for the pantry. He was rummaging through the shelves when he heard his mother's voice.
Eating this late will bring nothing but trouble.
Amandal peeled from the pantry, turning to face Bilia Aramian. Bilia was just as tall as the rest of the Aramians. She was slender, with golden blonde hair that brushed her shoulders. Many people called her elegant, but to Amandal she was simply his mother.
"I'm so glad you're home," Bilia said, grinning broadly.
She hurried across the kitchen and wrapped her arms around him.
"A pity you couldn't have arrived a week later."
So she knows of the expedition to Tardalim, too. Of course she knew. Aranil Aramian was not one to keep things from his wife.
"I'm glad to see you too, Mother."
Bilia pulled back, running her long fingers through Amandal's unkempt beard.
"This is unacceptable," she grimaced. "You need some grooming. And your hair, you don't look like my son."
Amandal chuckled as she shook her head and rustled his overgrown hair.
"How are you able to sleep like this? You look like a vagabond."
"I've managed," Amandal grinned. She scowled in disgust.
"I can't stand looking at it. Come with me. I'm going to cut it."
"Mother," Amandal protested. "I will have it taken care of in the morning." Bilia shook her head.
"Nope,"
she said, and tugged Amandal through the kitchen. Amandal threw his free arm into the air and rolled his eyes. She was the one person he did not fight. There was no one more stubborn than Bilia Aramian. Once she set her mind to something, nothing kept her from it. Bilia led Amandal to her private dressing room, a small room not far from the master suite of the Aramian estate. The room was decorated in whites, white marble flooring and off-white woodwork. A large floor-to-ceiling mirror hung on the wall beside a countertop holding cases of makeup. Bilia grabbed a chair and dragged it in front of the mirror.
"Sit."
Amandal complied, but was not amused.
"Don't worry, I'm not going to mess it up," Bilia said, grabbing a comb. "Besides, I don't think it could look any worse."
"I'm sure it could," Amandal thought, staring into the mirror. His mother was examining various pairs of scissors.
"Just pick one," Amandal muttered. "What did you say?"
Bilia asked, still intently examining the scissors. Amandal bit his lip, but didn't reply. After an excruciating moment, Bilia began trimming Amandal's overgrown hair.
"So, tell me all about your illegal jaunt through the forest."
Amandal chuckled. True, the Aramian test of valor was illegal by Lossian law. One of the Lossian kings had made the Malar Forest prohibited land on account of unimaginable horrors.
"What nonsense," Amandal thought, then recounted the journey to his mother. "After a month of trekking through the forest, I found some Gangolin tracks. They were massive, larger than I remembered from the stories father used to tell us."
Bilia nodded, trimming around Amandal's ears.
"I finally caught up to the beast after a week. The thing was massive."
Amandal shook his head in bemused memory.
"Stop it," Bilia scolded. "I'll cut your ear."
Amandal closed his lips in an exaggerated fashion and took a deep breath before continuing.
"I waited till it fell asleep, then opened my portal to the Vizerm expanse. The beast never saw it coming."
"That's impressive," Bilia said.
"Well done, son."
She stopped cutting.
"Something doesn't add up. If it only took a month to capture a Gangolin, why didn't you return home sooner?"
Amandal looked at his mother in the mirror.
"Why have one Gangolin when you can have two or five?"
Her mother's eyes went wide.
"Amandal,"
he replied with a throaty laugh. "It was a pain tracking the others," he said, "but the struggle was worth it. The last two were together. I had to summon one of my Gangolins to distract one while I captured the other." Bilia shook off her surprise and continued grooming her son.
I guess I should have expected that from you. After all, you're like that with your women.
Amandel fought the urge to nod. Why be with one woman when you can be with two or three? Over the last few years, Amandel had been with many women. Prior to leaving for the Aramean Test of Valor, Amandel had been romantically involved with three women, all a little older than he.
I saw Ilara the other day, Bilia said, eyes focused on the hair draped over Amandel's widow's peak.
Oh?
Amandel asked. Bilia nodded.
She's betrothed.
Really?
He asked with disbelief. To who?
Oh, some noble boy from Sarn, Bilia said. He's studying to be a barginist, I think.
Huh.
Did he dare ask if his mother had seen the other two? Bilia continued cutting, clearing the hair around Amandel's forehead.
Your father and I ran into Ivana about a month ago. She had a short fling with a traveling merchant from Murdan. Ivana almost left with him, but they had a fight, and she decided to stay in Sarroth.
Well, that's good, I suppose, Amandel said.
Now what is she going to say about Sildenar?
His mother began trimming his beard, but didn't speak.
Mother?
Amandel said, trying not to move his mouth.
You haven't heard anything about Sildenar, have you?
Your other lover?
Bilia asked.
Her family relocated to Silgarn to tend to her grandparents' farm 6 months ago. She followed them out there.
Amandel said, examining his hair in the mirror.
Well, one out of three isn't too bad.
He remained quiet until his mother finished trimming his beard.
There,
Bilia said, brushing off loose hairs.
Now you look like my son.
Amandel grinned, admiring his mother's handiwork. His hair was cropped short along the sides and back. It tapered to a length not quite a thumb's length. The hairs atop his head stood on end, revealing his widow's peak, and his beard was short but full. To his surprise, he looked good.
Thank you, mother.
Bilia looked pleased with her work.
You're welcome, she said, folding her arms. Now throw on some nice clothes.
Huh?
You can't go out looking like that,
she pointed to his robe.
Well, I guess you could. It just doesn't show off your physique.
Amandel burst into laughter, then ceased his mirth when he saw his mother's face. Bilia sighed and moved in front of Amandel, grabbing his hands.
Amandel, darling, I know what you're facing. You couldn't have returned home at a more precarious time. I just think you should go out tonight, find a nice girl, and...
She left the implication hanging.
It will clear your head, and you'll have a better perspective on this whole expedition business.
Amandel nodded and rose from the chair, shaking off the rest of the clippings.
I'm going to say one thing, Bilia said, swallowing hard. Your uncle, my brother, has been exploring the world for many years now. He loves it, but he hated it at first. Just don't discount something if you haven't tried it.
Amandel nodded. Uncle Cruden was fond of retelling stories of his adventures, but that was not a life Amandel wanted.
Now get changed and ride into town, Bilia said, wrapping her arms around her son. Have some fun, and we'll see you tomorrow.
With a brisk nod toward the door, Bilia grabbed a broom and began sweeping the floor. Amandel wandered back to the kitchen, but stopped short of entering it. Perhaps she's right, he thought. Turning heads in a crowd would be refreshing. If things went well, he would have a pleasurable night. At the very least, he could get his mind off this expedition to Tardalim.
Who knows? I might find a way to get out of this mess.